KMXT in Kodiak, this is the Alaska Fisheries Report. I'm Kayla Daroche. Coming up this week, it's man and woman against fish in Juneau's Golden North Salmon Derby. This year's winner tells the tale and shares her good luck charm. Then, the National Marine Fisheries Service is looking for two new commissioners, and we meet a cannery worker in Petersburg whose heart belongs to Texas. That and more coming up on the Alaska Fisheries Report.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you, in part, by Alaska Boats and Permits. Marine broker for vessels, permits, and IFQs. 1-800-992-4960. Or online at alaskaboat.com.
And by
ConocoPhillips, Alaska's oil and gas company.
Jody Haas is only the second person in Juneau's Golden North Salmon Derby's 69-year history to win the top prize more than once. Ryan Beeson won in 2001 and again the following year. Haas won in 2013 with a 29.2-pound king. Lisa Fu reports on how she landed this year's Derby winner.
Jody Haas says it might have something to do with a comfy sweatshirt, blue jeans, and extra tufts.
I wore the same fishing clothes that I won the Derby in last time, so that was my good luck charm.
Although that didn't work last year, whatever it may be, Haas reeled in the big fish south of Juneau within hours of the Derby starting Friday morning.
It was really slow, actually. We had gotten a couple bites and two small shakers that we threw back, and then all of a sudden it just hit, and it hit hard, and I grabbed the pole, and I knew. And it was a bigger one. I didn't know it was the big one.
The big king salmon didn't fight as much as Haas expected, but it did do some running.
It almost spooled us. We actually had to go in reverse a little bit so that it wouldn't spool all the line off the reel. So then it just immediately stopped running and turned directly around and started running towards the boat. And it was hard to keep my reel going as fast as he was swimming towards the boat.
After getting the fish on, Haas and her family went directly to Douglas Harbor and weighed in the fish just before noon. Then the family turned around and fished for the rest of the weekend.
27.4 is a pretty small fish, and it's surely beatable, and that's what we were expecting all weekend for it to be beat.
But it never was. The number two Derby fish came close at 27 pounds. Last time Haas won the Derby, her family used the $10,000 prize money to buy land in Gustavus. This year, the first purchase Haas plans to make is electric downriggers. In Juneau, I'm Lisa Fu.
The National Marine Fisheries Service is looking for additional nominees for two seats on the International Pacific Halibut Commission after the first solicitation didn't elicit as many candidates as hoped. The commission manages Pacific halibut from Northern California to the Bering Sea, including setting the annual catch limit, and includes three members each from the United States and Canada. NMFS listed nominees earlier this year and received two names, Homer resident Don Lane and Seattle's Bob Alverson, who are currently U.S. commissioners. In the call for nominees, the agency says the current pool doesn't provide an opportunity for alternates to be named. Commissioners serve two-year terms and are eligible for reappointment. The president makes the final appointments. The commission will meet in December in Seattle and January in Juneau.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you by commercial fishermen for Bristol Bay, permit holders and fishing groups standing together to protect and enhance the renewable fishing jobs and businesses of the Bristol Bay region.
Every year, hundreds of people come to Alaska from all over the world for a summer job, many in the seafood processing plants where millions of tons of salmon and other seafood are packaged up and sent to far-flung parts of the planet. But what about the people who can the fish? What are their stories? This summer, KFSK in Petersburg introduces us to some of the people who work those long, hard hours on the slime line. Today we meet Cecilio Escatel. He's a 30-year-old from Houston, Texas, who used to work in the oil industry. He sat down and talked to KFSK's Joe Sykes about fatherhood, loss, and his love for the Lone Star State. But first, he explained how he gets through the day working on the fillet line at Petersburg Fisheries.
I think about it like this, like I'm on a big weekend that my family's here and I'm cooking fish for all of them. When you think like that, you know, instead of thinking, oh my God, I have to be here for 12 hours, 14 hours. And it's a job. I think about it like I'm cooking for somebody special, and I just go out there and do it and think about them, and my time really goes fast.
So how have you ended up in Alaska this summer?
Well, the oil prices got really low. The refinery shut down. Leave me with no other choice to come up here and look for work. Everybody's being like that back home right now. We just sit down there at the house and just collect unemployment right now because the recession is just so bad in Texas. It's my first time out of Texas. It's something else. It's something else, really, because right here, it feels like it's a little ghost town. When I think about Texas, I think about I miss the barbecue, I miss the briskets. We cook it with love. We're from the South, you know. We got the Southern cooking out there. Every time I go or think about Texas, I'll get happy. You know, it's a wonderful feeling. Dreaming or thinking about Texas, it cheers me up a little bit every time. You know, it's so much that I miss that it's hard to put it in a couple of minutes, all of it, but my heart is in Texas. I don't know. This place is gorgeous, the view, the mountains, the air, but it just feels like in prison.
So what do your family think about you being here?
They were really worried, concerned about my safety and all the stories they tell about being up here alone. And they were like, don't wander off at night. Don't go walking at night because you might get killed by a bear. Don't get into trouble because they'll throw you out in the woods and you will never get out.
Do you talk to your family a lot? How do you contact them?
I have a wife and 3 kids. Every night I miss them. It's like you left half of your heart back there in Texas. I don't know how to explain it. It's hard. I miss them so much. I love them with all my heart. And I'm doing this for them so they can have a better future. I'm proud of them because we had a rough time, and they want to help the house. They want to help us, me and my wife. We lost 2 kids. We lost one in 2013. She was pregnant. We were going to have a baby boy. The heart didn't develop right when they were in the womb. That was something that hit us both really hard. Losing a child is, I think, one of the worst moments a parent will wish. You never are prepared for that. You know, you're preparing your life for almost anything or whatever comes to you. But when you're dealing with that kind of situations, I don't think nobody's ready for it. And the same thing happened with our little baby girl, Elizabeth. When she was doing labor, she had complications again. And it's like if you would get a shot in the head, you know, everything goes black. You don't know what to do. You don't know what to expect. I think about them all the time. They're always in my heart. Every year we celebrate their birthday, even they're not with us, and, you know, in spirit, we still can feel them. And now we remember them, and we're okay. The family's doing good. Everybody's doing great right now.
And when you go back to Texas, do you ever think you want to leave again?
I don't think my kids will let me go anytime soon, yeah. I think once I get back home, they're going to be like, you're not going to go nowhere. We're taking your keys, and they'll probably lock me in the house for a couple of years.
That was Cecilio Escatel, a 30-year-old father of 4 from Houston, Texas, speaking with KFSK's Joe Sykes.
Support for the Alaska Fisheries Report comes from the Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute, working to raise the value of our seafood harvest for the benefit of all Alaskans. On the web at alaskaseafood.org.
A steady stream of fall chum salmon are being caught by fishermen along the lower Yukon, But many upriver are just now beginning to get their subsistence needs met. The Alaska Department of Fish and Game estimates just over 542,000 fall chum have passed into the river so far this year. That comes as the second large pulse, as many as 140,000 fish started their migration early last week. That large pulse is keeping commercial fishermen busy in the lower river. But Jeff Estenson, the fall season manager on the Yukon for Fish and Game, says those fish are being managed with an eye to meet the needs of subsistence fishermen further upstream.
We are watching this next group of fish that will be coming in, and this is also going to be the group of fish that we'll see a lot of the subsistence fishermen upriver looking at to take subsistence harvest out of. And so we just kind of take that into account when we're making decisions on when the pulses are coming in and trying to make decisions on how this pulse is going to be utilized all the way up to the Canadian border.
During Tuesday's teleconference with Yukon River stakeholders, organized by the nonprofit Yukon River Drainage Fisheries Association, lower river commercial fishermen in regions Y1 and Y2 bickered over length and timing of openings, but upriver fishermen like Benedict Kayakuk says he's still fishing for his own freezer.
You guys complain on Y1 and Y2 fishing. We are subsistence fishing for fall chum is down last 2 years, 60%. This year we only got about 5% fall chum so far. So quit complaining about commercial fishing and subsistence fishing.
Despite mid-river fishermen just getting started on their subsistence needs, Fish and Game estimates lower river commercial fishermen have netted more than 118,000 fall chum and over 46,000 silvers in the river this year. To strike a balance between the commercial needs downriver and the subsistence needs further up, Estenson says subsistence openings are being increased to help fishermen catch what they need.
We've liberalized the subsistence schedule in District 4. And 5A, B, and D, 7 days a week. And essentially, we've been doing that just to give everybody on the river as much opportunity to harvest fall chum as possible.
And it appears to be working. Drift netters in Kotlik say they caught 80 fish in an hour, 200 in a night, and similar results were seen on Russian Mission and all the way up to Nulato. Teleconference organizers shrugged when fishermen seemed too busy to call in, while others were clearly getting wrapped up in other action along the river.
Like everyone is busy.
There's a whale in front of Russian Mission.
The excitement of marine mammals following fish up the Yukon aside, the fall chum season is also giving way to silver salmon in the river. Fish and Game estimates about 67,000 cohus in the river so far this year, a number that will grow through the next month as the fishing season draws to a close.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you in part by the Kodiak Area Native Association's Tobacco Prevention and Education Program. CANA believes everyone has the right to breathe smoke-free air. More information is available at 1-800-QUIT-NOW.
And by
Alaska Boats and Permits, marine broker for vessels, permits, and IFQs. 1-800-992-4960 or online at alaskaboat.com.
That's all for this week's Alaska Fisheries Report. We had help from KTOO's Lisa Fu, KDLG's Molly Dishner, KFSK's Joe Sykes, and KNOM's Matthew Smith. From KMXT in Kodiak, I'm Kayla Deroche.